Commerce Coffee Metal Podcast, episode 130.
Greetings and welcome to the Commerce Coffee Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Don Cardenas, and today I not only have two returning guests, I have one returning guest who is here for her fifth time, which is I believe a record for Comics Coffee Metal. Unlike SNL, I don't have a snazzy jacket to offer her, but maybe I'll think of something in the future. But I am very pleased to welcome back both Heather Antos and Michelle Abinader. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having us.
Woo!
I'll wait for my jacket in the mail. Please make it sparkly.
I appreciate you both making time. Come on, you're extremely busy with a brand new crowdfunded project. For when I was young, and I just know the stress of all that, and on top of the convention season happening and all the travel and all the insane stuff that's going on top of just, you know, working and living and existing. So once again, I appreciate you all making the time to come on. As the show goes, I gotta ask before we dig into it, Comics Coffee Metal, what have you guys been digging lately?
The comic I'm digging is When I Was Young.
wrong answer.
No.
Something other than that.
No, absolutely not. All the stories other than mine are great.
It's true.
So you heard it here. She agrees. Yeah. All the stories other than mine are great.
Don't do that to me.
Coffee, whatever is in my cup, metal. I heard a really great metal version of Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift recently. It was a cover of a Taylor Swift song done very like hardcore metal that was not expecting, caught me by surprise, but it was very enjoyable. That's all I got.
Like, what am I reading? The Peach comic. I'm reading a manga called My Dear Lass. That's really lovely. If anybody would like to read it, please DM me. I will send it to you. I love the Peach comic. Always reading that. It updated like twice this month, which is really cool. Feeling really good about it. Three times? I don't know. It's late. I'm really tired.
It's March. it's March 7th. So
is it?
Yeah. So has it updated that many times this month?
No, maybe just once in March. Mm. Twice in February, I think. Coffee. Black. Or like chai. I really like a really dirty chai.
That's
lately.
Tea.
So that has coffee in it.
That's true.
And metal. Well, I know it doesn't have to be metal. What have I listened to that's not Taylor Swift or Phoebe Bridgers lately? Honestly, not a lot.
You were really excited by Boys Like Girls today.
I was. I was excited by Boys Like Girls today. I was really excited to hear that on a playlist. It made me... My brain simulated feelings of joy for approximately 3 minutes during Boys Like Girls today.
Going back to what Heather said, the metal the Taylor Swift metal covers is a genre upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's ever a rabbit hole you ever feel like going down, there are just endless ones. I know someone whose entire guitar YouTube career kind of got launched off of a Blank Space metal cover.
Please send that to me.
There's so many, and I'm not above asking our mutual bud Kevin Mellon to go do one with me.
Kevin Mellon
in the future.
Let's just take a moment to talk about how great Kevin Mellon is. I love him.
Yeah,
hi Kevin, if you're out there, I love you.
He's awesome. You know, Michelle, you've done the impossible. You've gotten Heather to draw interiors, draw a sequential story for a comic. You managed to do it. I'm pretty sure, Heather, when you were on before, and I'm pretty sure I asked you that question if you're ever going to do it, and I'm pretty sure your answer was pretty much like, no thank you, maybe. But
that's still my answer. I want to make it very clear.
So, What was the final straw where you're like, all right, fine. Did Michelle just wear you down that much? Or were
basically,
you like, you know, I just got to do it once.
I think so. I think that's basically between Michelle and Chris Finolio, who is a wonderful, wonderful man and an artist I work with quite frequently on the Star Trek comics. But I think for me, it's just like to do it, to say I've done it, to see if I can do it, to see if it doesn't kill me. Michelle was like, it's only 4 pages. and it's for a good cause. So, yeah. Okay. I don't know. And she said I could draw penguins, so.
I heard the editor is a nightmare, so, like, good luck to you with all those nerds, honestly.
I'm going to ignore
probably. Most people do. It's okay.
Well, Michelle, once again, you've put together just, like, an amazing murderer's role of talent for an amazing-looking book with an amazing message. What was the impetus of When I Was Young? Was there something about this that was kind of bubbling up, or were some people kind of talking about projects and it kind of just formed into this?
I've been thinking about this and putting it together kind of in my mind since, I don't know, probably like the fall of last year. I started thinking about like wanting to do this and kind of closer to Pride Month to kind of have it come out during June was kind of the initial idea. Try not to put like deadlines on myself or others that don't really mean anything. So at this point it'll come out when it comes out. But I kind of always have thought to try to be the person I needed when I was younger. So I kind of like live my life that way and try to think about that in the way that I treat other people. So that's kind of where the idea for the theme of the book came from. And then I kind of just built the team out by just like, who do I want to work with? Who have I worked with that I really respect? And just kind of went from there. And it all kind of came together over months and months of agonizing about it. Now here we are, having a really great time.
Well, part of the really great time is the crowdfunding, obviously. And what, this was also a question we received on social media, is why through BackerKit as opposed to, say, Kickstarter or Zoop or, you know, any of the other plethora of crowdfunding sites?
Well, it's a charity thing, and Kickstarter kind of has a rule where they don't, you can't technically raise money for charity on Kickstarter. Okay. Technically. Like, you can loophole it, work around it, hope they don't notice you, but I kind of don't have the best luck. So I kind of was worried. And I, you know, kind of catastrophized me. I know I never do that, but like, kind of had this picture of like putting it on Kickstarter and then it getting yanked because of the charity aspect of it. And I thought, BackerKit, because people are familiar with it because of Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So it was better, than another platform or straight pre-order. And yeah, I did think about Zoop. I think what they do over there is great, but for this particular project, I didn't really need a lot of the services that they offer for smaller creators. So it seemed like for this book, that wasn't the right pairing, but I did have some conversations with those guys. They're great. So it really just was based on how, like what I needed in terms of like services from the platform and needing someone to say it was okay that I was fundraising for charity.
Gotcha. That makes total sense. And also, you know, BackerKit having been so, again, people are so familiar with it anyway with Kickstarter that it's it's not like, you know, here's some, you know, like when Zoop first came, everyone's like, what the hell is Zoop?
Right.
Like, everyone's like, BackerKit, oh, they're doing, it's an easy jump in, like, oh, now they're doing their own stuff? Okay, cool. Like, we've all done something with BackerKit or have contributed to a campaign that had BackerKit with that and all that.
Right. A lot of people, I think, that have backed Kickstarters, like, have a BackerKit account, so.
Yeah. I know Steve and I, when we do Evie and the Helsings, we have BackerKit attached to it and stuff like that. And it's a great service, and it's awesome that at least you have an outlet now to have the charity component with this.
And they're definitely new to crowdfunding, and it hasn't been the smoothest ride. Definitely does not have the organic discoverability that Kickstarter has. And I'm hitting some bumps in the road, but I'm determined to see it through. This is where I'm at right now, trying to remain positive and drink more coffee.
Well, yeah, I totally get that. And I think that's just the kind of overall, there's a discoverability issue with crowdfunders lately because, you know, literally a year ago, we did the first issue, even the housings, and we had such huge traffic from like Twitter coming to the campaign. And then in August, we had the second campaign, and we literally had one backer come from a Twitter link.
Yeah.
And so, granted, you could say like some were like returning ones from Twitter, whatever, but like in terms of new stuff, like just one, like, and it was just so hard to gain any sort of traction on that. And I've talked to quite a few people behind the scenes who have had Kickstarters that have just had a lot of trouble just getting eyes on it and all that. So, you know,
we talk about needing a celebrity miracle for your campaign to be successful. So I'm just like trying to figure out how to get one of those.
Well, you know, I commend you for not only, you know, sticking to your guns and, you know, seeing this through, but also, again, the charity aspect of it. I you know, the Trevor Project's an amazing foundation, and the whole impetus behind that, I think, is definitely worth being celebrated and being, you know, put out there. And, you know, from my end, I'm going to do my best to help share everything, because, you know, I've loved all the work you've done before. We're always sharing things, and you've always been very helpful sharing our stuff. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, what do you do these days when you're trying to get something done? There's so many options. Not everything's just gotten so divided and everything. And yeah. I know, you know, for some people, it's even like the biggest hurdle is like, I don't want to make another account.
Right. No, I know.
You know, and I'm like, I've definitely been one of those types of people, but for something like this, it's like, well, I mean, it's, you know, I've used BackerKit, so at least I know what this
right.
is.
That
know?
Was the idea, I think, was that like, at least a lot of people that back Kickstarters at this point probably have a BackerKit account or are familiar with it enough that they're like, well, I might as well make an account now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this is the last straw. I don't know. It's, but I mean, it's, the roll is very slow, but it's moving. It's just, it's moving slow. And, you know, people that I know are very much online were like, today, we're like, oh my God, this looks great. And I'm like, I've been talking about nothing else for like 3 days, like 24 hours a day for the past 3 days. You're just seeing it. So.
Well, I think that you know, that brings a good point to where social media has changed so much in the last 10 years since like I did my first crowdfunding campaigns, you know, literally 10 years ago. And you can't rely on any of the main platforms anymore to spread the word organically or get eyes on it. I mean, even literally today, Elon Musk is talking about removing, you know, being able to show like reposts and likes on posts and stuff. And so I think, and we've seen it over the last year as the algorithms have just died across Instagram and Twitter, where people are moving, rightfully so, more so towards like Substacks and Patreons and anything where they can have a more controlled audience and they can retain their own audience. You know, those email lists and newsletters and things like that, where, you know, you're not relying on an algorithm to get to someone's front door. You can just show up, basically. So I think, you know, that's definitely something to keep in mind, for anyone thinking about doing crowdfunding campaigns and just building an audience in general, is you just can't rely on social media anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I've mentioned this before on the show where I think that we're kind of headed back to forums almost, you know,
I mean,
we're
Discord all going back to, it's very reminiscent of like old forums, just like a little more immediate, but like with all the different channels
And with Discord too, it's kind of like you have to kind of find the right one for yourself, because there's a I dipped my toes in the Discord thing, and there was one that it literally looked like the you know, stock exchange ticker. It's just going, and I'm like, no, thank you, I'm out. Like, what is this? And but that was like a guitar related one. But anyway, that was one thing. But like, you know, there's lots of comic book Discords, and you know, as we gear up to do our next crowdfunder, I'm like, what, like, do I have to like start being more active on Threads now? Like, what do I got to do? Like, I love Blue Sky, but Blue Sky is not really a place for that.
No.
You know, I like the social aspect of Blue Sky, but like the promoting thing seems to be.
The newsletter thing is really, yeah. like what Heather said, is really yeah. like, unfortunately, the thing. And I think I've been so hesitant to like build my own brand, you know, like I'm terrible yeah. at self-promo. I'm great at like, you know, being a pageant mom for everybody else. But like when it comes to me, I'm not great at like, hey, pay attention to me. So now I'm in a position where I have to be like, whoops, I guess I should have been doing this more over the past 4 years. Cause now I don't have like a mailing list or a direct way into someone's inbox. So I do have like previous Kickstarter campaigns where I can, you know, send updates to backers from old stuff, which I'm going to do a little bit of that, but I don't want to bug people too much. So I'm always hesitant to like overuse those types of things.
Oh, I disagree. I'm a shameless self-promoter. I mean, statistically, they say for anyone to even consider backing any sort of crowdfunding campaign, they have to see it 7 times, you know? And so, I don't know, like that's always...
I'm trying to get better at it.
Yeah. But you're not promoting you. You're promoting your book. You're promoting all the other creators. Really, you're just a writer of one little story.
Right.
You're promoting. No. But, you know, like, I think that's another hurdle that a lot of creators, when it comes to doing crowdfunders, they struggle with. They don't want to be, quote unquote, mm-hmm. annoying. They don't want to, you know, I definitely have that too. Like, I think we all do, you know, you want to be respectful and not annoying and whatever, but also that's it. That's the gig. That's what you got to do. Right. I often, as an editor, even when I'm talking with students or art students or, you know, at panels at shows, everyone, you know, we all just want to sit in our holes and create, and for mm-hmm. someone to knock on our door and go, aha, you're the one, here's $1 million, do whatever you want, right? And like
the dream,
that just doesn't happen, you know? Like what is it, back in the day when artists had what were they called, the people who like
the dream,
like that just doesn't, you know, the church doesn't spend money on artists anymore. Sorry.
I'm always like, I want to find like a 50-year-old like lawyer lady to be like, you're cute, and like pat me on the head and be like, here's $1 million. Right. I'm going to go to work 7 days a week,
but you'll
never see me. Here's a lot of money.
But how's that little, you know, lawyer lady going to find you if you're not out there talking, right?
I got to find her. Where are you, lawyer lady?
Exactly. You have to find her. They aren't just going to like come to you. And so like, that's just kind of the thing, you know, self-promotion is the best promotion. It's the only promotion when, you know, mm-hmm. when you're an independent creator. And so, yeah, it's definitely a constant battle, but it's one, if you want to be successful, I find like you got to get over that real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a huge hurdle for myself. And, you know, I've told other people where like, who have mentioned like, I don't want to be annoying, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, like we all get it.
Yeah.
Like if there's someone who actually messages you and says, you're being really annoying with your post, then fuck them. Yeah. Like really.
Well, the mute button's right there. Bye.
Like, I see you. Yeah. Thanks for your feedback.
Too bad. Like this is, you know, what do you think? Like I said, you know, I understand like you want to strike a balance with everything, but nothing is set up to give you a balance of anything, you know? So just get your stuff out, because there's people I've known for years and follow, and we're mutuals and we've interacted plenty of times before. And then I don't see stuff they've posted for, you know, till like the end of the day or the next day or
3 days later. It's wild. Yeah. So I feel like I try to remember that the algorithm hates everyone. So I can post the same thing like 8 times a day, and the odds of anybody even seeing it once are pretty low. So, I'm trying to get over that. It's so hard, but I'm making an attempt.
Well, Michelle, I think you should put something at the end of this campaign where people can volunteer to sign up for a potential Serial Pancake newsletter.
I don't know what would I even say in a newsletter. I think it would be like, here's some gay trash I saw on TV this week. Perfect. I bet they're all going to die. Here's, and then like 3 weeks later, like a follow up. Yeah. Update. They all died.
But here's the thing, like, you don't need to have like a weekly, monthly, whatever newsletter thing. It can just be like, hey, do you want the latest news on any upcoming campaigns?
That's anything? True.
You know what I mean? Like, you can just like curate the list so you have the list.
And I don't think I would mind if somebody's newsletter once a month was just like, hey, I don't have a ton to update you on, so here's a really funny GIF I saw earlier.
Yeah.
And here's a picture of a really nice cocktail that I had last week. I hope you're well.
The only newsletter that I regularly open and read is Kevin Scott's A Perfect Sunday. He does every Sunday and just interviews a different creator. And it's just describe your perfect Sunday. And that's literally
kinda
what
nice.
It is.
Will you
right?
forward that to, I'd like to get that.
That's a nice email open for sure.
What's your favorite brunch? What book would you read? What music would you be listening to? And that's it. There's nothing. No one's plugging anything. No one's talking about work or craft or whatever. It's just, what would be a nice Sunday?
I think I have a new goal, like unlocked, would be to be on that. Don, what would be your perfect Sunday? I'm curious.
My perfect Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd feel guilty if I didn't mention my kids.
Don't worry about it. Safe space. How about you can't mention your kids?
How about a perfect Sunday break to yourself away from your kids having a great time over there?
Your kids are having so much fun over there. Whatever they're doing, just like over there somewhere.
A perfect Sunday would probably be like me and my wife can sleep in.
Yeah.
And then we can go out to breakfast somewhere. Eat entirely too much breakfast foods, come home, take a nap, and like then go out to a movie. That would be like the best Sunday.
And then all the while your kids are having a great time.
Great over there. Great time. They're over there.
They're safe and fed and everyone's taken care of.
Everyone's safe and so happy, and they have like new toys that you didn't have to pay for that make no noise, but they're like over there, quiet.
Well, now I have to switch it back to you two. What's your perfect Sundays?
You first.
I mean, I literally did the newsletter. I don't remember what I put in any of it. Probably talked about coffee a little bit too much. And I probably talked about work because that's just all I do all the time, always.
Can't confirm.
Something about my dogs and a penguin.
That's it? Something about my dogs and a penguin is your perfect Sunday?
I think so. Would you say that's incorrect?
No, it's probably true. But I feel like you'd play video games.
Maybe.
Or like, I don't know. I think I would. I don't know. I feel like I'm thinking like in a like Disney movie, right? Where I wake up and I'm like, oh, and there's like birds and they're chirping.
That sounds
like
awful.
But they're not like loud. They're just like
Does Billboard quietly. Like reach over and shoot them?
No.
Like watching
a lot of Friends lately, that episode where the Phoebe's cop boyfriend like shoots the bird that's singing in the morning. It's terrible. But like, I don't know. I like to think that I would like wake up mid morning, drink a nice cup of coffee, like by a window and there's like natural light and I'm like reading a book and I'm not worried about anything.
Is it an ocean view?
It doesn't matter. I could be looking just
really?
At nothing. It doesn't matter.
I
do love to pine by a cold body of water. It's just part of my genetics as a homosexual. But like, I just think I'd like to not be worrying about anything. I think would be nice. What's that feel like? Not worrying.
I will never be able to tell you. But yeah, everything is,
If you're always worrying, are you ever worrying?
That's just that's my natural state of being. Being worried.
It's just levels.
Yeah, just levels of how worried are you?
Charlie's worried.
Yeah, there's a puppy crying by the door. She's fine. She's the most fine person here. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, our puppy would be crying by the door, but thankfully my wife's got them all handled right now.
It's very cute.
Yeah,
Mr. Cuddles.
Yes, Mr. Cuddles. We got him. It's Heather. I don't know if you've seen the picture.
Oh, I have. He's adorable.
My wife was like, okay. We were trying to think of a name. She's like, I like the name Mister, which I thought was a cute name too, because you know. And then we asked our kids, and my daughter was like, Mr. Cuddles.
Perfect.
And then they were both like, yeah, that's it. And I'm like, I guess that's it. Like, we literally like got the tag for him like right after she said that.
I guess that's what happens when you have kids.
Yeah. I mean, we're just glad it was something, you know, just really out there or something.
Right.
You know, I just.
Mister is a really cute name, I think.
Yeah.
For a dog.
I mean, and when you're mad at him for doing something, because he's a puppy, but you're like, he pees on the carpet or something, like, Mister, like, how can you be like that mad at him about it? You know?
I used to know this bulldog, and her name was Gran, like Granny, but she was like a bulldog named Gran.
Oh. Was it? My friends had a cat named Carol. Just like the best name.
That is very much a fitting for a cat. Yeah,
Carol.
Carol. Carol.
Yeah. Cats are definitely Carols. Now I, you know, through snafu on my end, we started about a half hour later than you all anticipated, and I know it's really late over there, and you've been super, super busy, and you all need some rest. So it's almost 11 o'clock by you guys, so I'm gonna let you go.
I'm gonna let you go. Get one final rest. Question that we can get sneak in here before we go.
We do, and I was saving the best for last because it's a question from our buddy Grant Stoy.
Oh, Grant.
He wants to know if you had to choose between having dog paws instead of hands or giraffe ears instead of human ears, which would you choose?
Giraffe ears, because if I had dog paws for hands, I couldn't do my job. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think ears are cute, so I would totally go with the giraffe ears. So I'd be like, look at these things. This is great.
Yeah, I Grant, what, not your best question, Grant.
Wow,
I think you're out of practice, fired. Buddy.
Life has been life lately, so like, I'm good with this. That's honestly, that's a thinker. That got me a little bit, you know? Because also I'm thinking, like, if I have paws, I'm sure slapping somebody, you know, hey, you suck, you know, like it would be like a much harder like, impact.
There would be benefits, I guess, yeah.
Physical violence sometimes, you know. I'm really into physical violence.
Okay.
Okay. No, Grant knows I love him and his crazy questions. And I missed him asking crazy questions whenever I posted up online. So thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Grant.
So Michelle, Heather, thank you again for taking the time to come on. And, you know, When I Was Young, it's on Backer Kit. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes below. Please go check it out. It's an amazing looking anthology. You know, Michelle's put together just killer book after killer book. And this is no exception. And, you know, I can't wait to make sure I get my backing in right after we're done here. And, you know, make sure you all go and do it, because you get an awesome book, you help an amazing charity, and you also support some really great creators. So, Heather, Michelle, if you can let everybody know where they can find you on social media, now is the time.
Well, you can find me at Heather Antos on all of the things, as well as my work in the When I Was Young comic at whenIwasYoungComic.com.
That is the website. It's true. And I'm Cereal Pancake on Twitter and Blue Sky, and I Like Pancakes on Instagram. I just like breakfast. It's not that deep. And
there's your newsletter right there. Just talk about breakfast.
We literally had pancakes.
He's not gonna listen.
For dinner.
Did have pancakes for dinner. When I Was Youngcomic.com on Backer Kit. I appreciate every single backer with the entirety of my heart. And this project means a ton to me and to everyone involved. These stories are deeply personal. There are a lot of people in the book that are telling an autobiographical story, probably for the first and only time. So we really want to get this out there. It means a lot to everybody. And I think it'll really connect with everyone, including people that are tragically not gay. So there's a little something for everybody, I think, here.
100%. Everyone go check it out. And Heather, Michelle, once again, thank you so much.
Love you, buddy. Thank you.